So good. I have a sense that this morning God wants to take us to a place in His Word where He really challenges us. So I'm going to be quick. I'm not going to. I have a set message. I'm just going to go right to it. And I really believe that this message is very, very important for where we are as a church, where we are going as a people, and we really have to activate faith for the journey that lies ahead of us. Tell your neighbor, have faith. Yeah, you're the preacher this morning. Help me get this message into them. My subject this morning is placing a demand on Jesus. Placing a demand on Jesus. I really had a sense in my spirit that God wants us to take serious what Jesus has done for us. What Jesus has done for us. You see, it's one thing to know that Jesus died on the cross for you. But when you recognize what He accomplished on the cross and you believe it, you have to start demanding that from the grace that is supplied. So sometimes, you know, when we say place a demand, like can we demand anything from God? I really believe that without a demand, sometimes we limit. God has wants to do exceedingly abundantly, far beyond what you can ever think or imagine. But the problem is we limit God. We come to God with limitations. So we want Him to do great things, but we limit Him. We limit Him. We limit Him. Like, am I even allowed to ask for this? Am I even allowed to pray like this? Am I even allowed to do this? And I feel like God is saying, if you really knew, if the church understood what Jesus did, this place will be packed. Because people will, you know, if you go, I don't know about you, if you've ever driven past the main road, going past the court where the mosque is on a Friday. I think, I don't know if it's every Friday. Do you know they hand out rice at the mosque in the morning? Have you ever tried to drive past that road when they hand? You see, word went around that there is 5 kg free rice, 10 kg free rice at the mosque on a Friday. Try drive past that road on the morning. Because word went around. Oh, yeah. If you need free rice, you can go get. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know about that. Yeah. There's free rice. You see, when something is good and is freely available, you don't have to advertise. I don't see adverts on Facebook. I don't see adverts on television about the free rice. People that just heard of the free rice told their uncles, they told their aunties, they told their dogs and their kids. Everyone is there. Because something is free and it's good. And they come and they expect to get something. But the church gathers every week for free grace. Grace that will change your life, not just feed you for a couple of days. Like every week you should be pressing in. How many of you told your aunt, your dogs, your kids that I'm going to church because there is some free grace? If you knew what Jesus did for you, you would not stay at home. You see, if you knew that there was free rice and you needed rice, you are not going to stay at home. You will make a plan to access it. And I felt the Lord say to us this morning, there are many that are taking for granted what Christ has done. So we hear that, oh, we're going to church like, oh, yeah, whatever. But if you knew that this morning, you might have to lower me a little bit because I'm going to get excited. If you knew that this morning Jesus was releasing the healing that you're looking for. You see, when you are in need of a doctor, you don't need people to tell you Which one is the best doctor? You'll find out. And I feel like we have cheapened what Jesus has done for us. It's no longer special. It's just like, yeah, whatever happens. But I wanna stir your faith in two stories that I wanna read for you this morning. I wanna start with Matthew number 11, reading from verse 11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. Tell your neighbor, listen. Yeah, you better listen. Verse 16, but to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces, calling to their companions and saying, we have played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. And the Son of Man, Jesus Christ himself, came eating and drinking, and they say he is a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified in her children. I'll read the next scripture a little bit later, but let me help you understand what's happening here. Jesus says, in the kingdom of heaven, there has not risen anyone who is greater than John the Baptist. So John is the greatest. Maybe because of the function that John had to fulfill. John was the announcer, the Elijah that was to come, the messenger that was going to announce the coming of the Messiah. And so in Jesus' eyes, from Moses to John, John is the greatest. Because John is the one that says, behold, the Lamb of God. He's the one who is to identify what you've been looking for. You see, there were many prophets that spoke of the coming of Jesus Christ, but none of them had the privilege, the honor, the opportunity of saying to the nations, there he is. And so Jesus says, because people did not know, God had to send a John the Baptist to identify who Christ is. You see, it's okay to walk past grace when you do not know. It's okay to walk past Jesus Christ when you do not know him. You know, you can walk past Jesus and treat him like an ordinary human being because you do not know him. It's so amazing how people can change things. People's perspective changes the moment they recognize who you are. So I was at one gathering. I was in a gathering and people did not recognize who I am until I sat in the front row with their key pastor. And now all of a sudden, it's like, oh, now we better treat you like you're VIP now. I'm like, but you were treating me like I was nothing just the other moment. You know? You see, it's okay to treat Jesus like he is nobody when you do not know him. But when John is in your midst, when there is a Justin that is pointing you to Jesus, you have no excuse. You see, you can walk past Jesus and treat him like an ordinary person because you did not recognize him. But if I came and I told you, there he is, that's the Son of God. And you choose to treat him like nothing after I have told you who he is, now you have a problem. So Jesus says John's responsibility was to make sure that everybody recognizes who I am. And that makes him the greatest. Side note, he says, even though John is the greatest, he then says the least, that is you and I, in the kingdom of God, are greater than John. You see, John's responsibility was to point you to Jesus, but he says even the least, even a no-name person who comes to Word of Truth, who recognizes Jesus, is greater than John. There is greatness sitting next to you. You see, you wanna worship. when you are the pastor, you get to see things here. Yeah, amen. I'm seeing somebody, reminding somebody, you are sitting next to greatness. Amen. 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 You are great. You are great. You are great. I see you. I see you. I see you. It is you. I'm speaking to you. Amen. Like, did you really see that? I'm more observant than you think. Now you're messing up the message. All right, okay, let's come back to the message. You are great. You are great. There's nothing wrong with that. You are great. Because Jesus said you're great. The least in the kingdom is greater than John. So you are great. And then he goes on to say, now watch this. This is very key. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence until John. So here's happening. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. So the kingdom of heaven was under attack until John came and announced Jesus. Now, he says, there's another vision that says, when people recognized Jesus, they started pressing into the kingdom. So here's what Jesus is trying to say. The kingdom of God was suffering because they did not recognize the Messiah. But John points them to the Messiah. And from the moment John made the announcement that is the one we've been waiting for, people started pressing into the kingdom of God. It's like when somebody told somebody that there is free rice, everybody started pressure. One Friday there was nobody up until word went around. And Jesus is saying the kingdom of God was suffering violence up until John said he is here. yeah. So I don't know about you. You can be the one that is sitting at home and saying, I'm trying to figure out what Jesus and what the will of God is for my life. Or you can be the one that says, because I know him, I'm pressing into him. You see, there are so many Christians that are sitting back and waiting for Jesus to say something. And Jesus is saying, I have already announced who I am. I've told you everything that I've done for you. I've already given you the scriptures. You've had many prophetic words. I'm waiting for you to begin to press into what I have done for you. And some of you came to church and like, oh, well, we'll see what God is going to do for me. God is like, I want to see what you want from me. Because you already know what I can do for you. So he says, up until John, people were just casually doing life. But John announces the Messiah, and people started pressing in to the kingdom of God. I've said this before, and it's worth repeating in this session before I go into the crux of my message. The problem with the church is in verse 16. I need to highlight this because it's a very big problem even now. In verse 16, Matthew 11 and 16, it says, to what shall I liken this generation? To what shall I liken Word of Truth Ministry? To what shall I liken your household? To what shall I liken Port Alfred? The people, this generation that claims to have a relationship with Jesus. And yet, he says, they are like children sitting in the marketplace calling to their companions. Children in the marketplace don't recognize value. You are in a place of value, but do you recognize it? You have Jesus Christ, the greatest pearl that you need to sell everything and acquire, but do you recognize it? The problem with the church today, we have the greatest price, the greatest pearl. We have Jesus Christ. But we're playing games with him. You know, let's just see what happens. No real demand. You see, you could, if you went back 20, 30 years back, and you found Kunta Kinte running the mountains, and you gave him a cell phone, he would be, what is a lily? A lily is a valley. Like, no, this is iPhone. They will throw it around. Why? Because Kunta Kinte did not understand what a cell phone is. Like, never seen this thing. What do I do? Do I chuck it away? Is it a new stone? What do we do? So you can have something that is so valuable, but if you don't recognize its value, you can cheapen it. And that's the problem with the church. We have Christ. We have grace in abundance, multiplied grace. We have all things we need for life and godliness. And yet, we are children in the marketplace. The reason why people are not pressing into the house of God, the reason why this place is not jam-packed, is because the people in the house are playing games with the things that are valuable. If you discovered the cure for cancer, and it's Jesus, if you discovered the cure for cancer, I promise you this place will be too small. If I made an announcement today, right now, that from now on we are curing cancer here, We need police to come and help people in and out of this building. Because you have found something that's valuable. But you already have found the greatest pearl. You already have the healer. You already have the provider. You already have life, joy, godliness. You already have everything you need. It's already there in Christ, but do you recognize it? You are waiting for somebody to give you what you already have. Children in the marketplace. To what shall I liken this generation? What shall I liken Word of Truth Ministry? Children in the marketplace. Come to church, sing a few songs, go home. Nothing major happened. You see, the church is the ecclesia, the trading ground. This is a place where we need to be doing things. We need to be making decisions, but we come here. Who's wearing what today? Oh, was so-and-so in church? Oh, yeah, did you see how they were worshiping? We come to a place of value to gossip about what so-and-so is wearing. And we go home. Nothing changes in our lives. And we're like, but that was church. And it's like children in the marketplace. You could have changed Port Alfred when you gathered. You could have placed a demand on heaven and say, God, enough is enough. We're tired of prostitution in Port Alfred. You could have gathered and made declarations that would have altered the community because you understand who you are and what you have. The authority that has been given to you. But you have gathered and you had a cup of coffee, checked out hairstyles, and went home. Children in the marketplace. And that's the problem with the church right now. And I'm saying, Word of Truth, this should not be a problem for us anymore. We need to come to a place where we recognize who we are, whose we are, and what Christ has already done for us. Let me show you now how you place a demand. In Luke chapter number 8 and verse 40. I love this story. So it was when Jesus returned. So Jesus had gone up the mountain. He was praying. And then he's coming down. He decided, you know, he was going to PE. He's going to PE from East London. He decided, well, let me just stop by in Port Alfred. And word went around. I wonder if I sent word that Jesus is passing by and he's at Word of Truth, I wonder how many people would show up. Like, oh yeah, he's just in his many tours and he's just, you know, decided to stop in and just check out the saints in Port Alfred. And like he's gathered here, how many would show up? So this is what is happening. So it was when Jesus returned, the multitude welcomed him, for they were waiting for him. I love this story. They were waiting for him. They were expecting him. Waiting, anticipating him to come. You see, you can come to church without expectation, without a sense of waiting. What are you waiting for? Why are you waiting for Jesus? What do you need from him? So these people were waiting for him. Stay with me. And in verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at the feet of Jesus and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. They're pressing in. There's serious pressure. They recognize who he is, and there's people galore. Everywhere there's people pressing into him. And now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind, placed a demand on Jesus, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those said to him, "Master," but Jesus, are you serious? We've got thousands of people around us and you're asking who touched me. But Jesus said in verse 46, "Somebody touched me." Everybody say, "Somebody touched me." You see, there are people that touch Jesus and then there are people that touch Jesus. You know, some of you touched Jesus this morning because, yeah, you came to church and we were singing, "You touched Jesus." But there are those who really touched Jesus. They're like, I'm not sure about the program. I'm not sure about what you have planned. I'm not sure what everyone else is planning to do. But I have a need that is causing me to touch him differently. Placing a demand. Like everybody else can touch you in worship and they are happy with singing four songs. But I'm here for more than singing a song. There is something that I need that nobody else knows I need. But I have determined when I got up and I was brushing my teeth, I said, "I'm going to the house of God because I want Jesus to do something in my life." I didn't come to see how pretty you look. I didn't come to listen to a preacher preach hard at me. I came to touch Jesus. So she touched Jesus and Jesus says, "Somebody touched me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him. And how she was healed. Everybody say immediately. You see, when you place a demand, there is an immediate response. You see, there are many people that will come to me and say, "Oh, Pastor Justin, you're busy." I'm like, "Yeah, as long as you think like that, you'll never have my time." But when you place a demand, I often say, "Yes, I am busy. Yes, I go around. Yes, I do things." But if you place a demand, I promise you, I'm yet to find somebody that has tried to have a meeting with me and I say, "I'll never have a meeting with you because I'm too busy." The fact that you have tried to have a meeting with me causes me to rearrange stuff. On Friday, Leon wanted to see me and we were trying to move our schedules and we were busy. He's doing something, I'm doing something. Long story short, he ended up coming to my house after moving the time slot many times, came to my house, we went somewhere, we met, drove me back here, and the meeting was done. Why? You placed a demand. You could have said, "Well, you're busy, we'll do it next year." Yeah. We'll do it next year. But according to the need, you place the demand. Now, I'm Justin. I'm just human. Jesus, the one who wants to meet all your needs, if you place a demand on him, like, "I don't know if my pastor can help me in this one. I'm not even sure if Pastor Justin can pray for this one. I need Jesus to deal with this." And when you place a demand on Christ, there's an immediate response. So immediately she was healed. And verse 48 says, "And he said to her, 'Daughter, be of good cheer, for your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" Her faith was not something that was just in her heart. Her faith was the type of faith that James speaks of, the faith in action. She could have sat there and watched Jesus passing by and say, "Well, if Jesus loves me, he will take a U-turn. He'll make a U-turn and take a detour and come and pray for me." And Jesus would have walked all the way to Jairus' house and should have been left bleeding. But she recognized that what I need is to place a demand on the grace that's passing by. Somebody has to help me. I thought I said something about blind Bartimaeus earlier on. Blind Bartimaeus could not see, and blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing by. I can't see Jesus, but I hear everybody talking about Jesus, and I hear somebody saying there is this Messiah, this healer that is passing by. And because I cannot see, I cannot find, make my way to him, I'm just going to use my voice. Jesus! You know, some of you need to, in worship, lift your voice a little bit louder. So,
I'm helping you because you think that, oh, I don't want to disturb somebody. But Bartimaeus says, excuse me, I am blind. I am not going to try and be so quiet and calm and collected. I'm blind. I'm not going home blind. Jesus. You see, someone might be worshiping God like this, and because they've got their stuff right, their life is in order. They paid their rent. They've got food on their table. You need to worship Jesus like, God, if you don't show up, I don't know what I'm going to eat. So I'm not going to go, Paula, excuse me, Jesus. I'm going to go, Jesus. You see, your need determines how aggressive you are. You see, when you, I've observed these people trying to get rice. The ones that have 5 kg in their pantry are sitting at the back of the line saying, well, let's see how many packets they are handing out today. The one that is hungry, that knows that if I don't get that packet, I am going home hungry. It's like pushing their way to the front. Like, I can't afford to let him pass by because that could be life and death for me. Yeah, let's come back to our text. Let's come back to our text. Let me paint it for you a little bit clearer. They were all waiting for Jesus. So I want you to see three groups of people in the crowd. Because so many times when we gather like this, we think we are all desperate for Jesus. We think we are all the same. That's not true. That's not true. The Bible starts by saying they were all waiting for Jesus. They're all waiting for him to come. And when he came, there were people that were just happy to walk with Jesus and have chit-chat with Jesus. Oh, yeah, so what was happening up the mountain? Oh, what did you do in the previous city? You know, let's, yeah, the selfie. Like, yeah, you just pose for a selfie with me. Like, yeah, you can take a selfie with Jesus and go home with your problem. So these guys had selfies with Jesus. They're like, yeah, we were hanging out with him. We were walking with him. Man, I was next to him. But what did you demand from heaven? You went next to grace and left the same. So there was another man, his name is Jairus. He heard that Jesus came to his town. He's like, God, it's not enough for Jesus to come to my town. I need him to my house. I'm here to help somebody. It's not enough for Jesus to come to church and come to Port Alfred if he's not in your house. So Jairus says, I'm gonna place a demand on Jesus. I'm not gonna be content with Jesus visiting me in church. I'm not gonna be content with Jesus in Port Alfred. I was that the others are taking self sends a word and he places a demand on the same Jesus that the others are taking selfie with. He's like, oh Jesus, I don't want a selfie. I don't want to meet you in public. I want you to come home with me. Somebody gotta get the message, because someone is happy to come to church and watch a crazy pastor preach, but you are saying, I came to take Jesus home with me. Amen. It's a demand. It's a different demand. So Jairus placed his demand and Jesus says, I'm coming. It might take me a little bit of time, but I promise you, because you made a personal invitation, I'm coming. Everybody else is happy to just meet with me in the crowd. But because you made the invitation, I'm coming to your house. And so I'm not leaving everyone and coming right now. I'm making my way to the house. And others kept taking pictures. But then there comes another woman. This one is greater than Jairus. Because this woman says, I know Jesus. You are in town. And your appointment is with Jairus and Jairus' daughter. And Jairus' daughter is lying at home. I'm in the crowd. I'm not going to let you pass me and go to Jairus' home and leave me the same. So even though you are not scheduled to touch me, If Jairus could invite you into his house and you said yes, surely, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, my God, I'm about to place a greater demand on this Jesus. I'm not waiting for him to come to my house. I don't have time to, I don't even have a house. They have kicked me out of community. I've been living in the streets, but I'm going to touch Jesus here now. I don't know about you. You might be saying, well, it's not the time, maybe next month, maybe 2 years, maybe conference, but there is somebody that's saying, I've got no time to wait for a conference. I don't need a conference. If he's here right now, Jesus, I'm going to place a demand. And she made a way. Everybody was pushing her around, but she made a way. She touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says immediately she was healed. Then I love what Jesus says. Jesus says, who touched me? The disciples could not understand it. Like, Jesus, what do you mean who touched you? Everyone is touching you. People are taking selfies with you. Like, no. The touch that I received a few moments ago, the touch that I'm talking about was a touch of somebody with faith. Somebody who has made up their mind that something has to change today. And I'm here to speak to somebody who's saying, I'm done playing church. I'm done coming to church and watching people sing and go home the same. I'm done. I've made up my mind that if only I can touch the hem of his garment, my life will never be the same again. So when I come to church, I'm not coming to look pretty. I'm not coming to be dignified. If I have to be undignified, I will be undignified so that... So she touched and immediately she was healed. And what I like about this is God said to me, there are three types of people in the church. There are those who are happy as the crowd, just to watch miracles happen, just to watch Jesus do stuff for others. And there are those who are saying, Jesus, don't pass me. I've made up my mind, I want to touch Jesus. And I don't know about you, Word of Truth, we cannot come to a place of value and play games with Jesus. We have to come with intent that when we gather, we're going to see people healed, delivered, set free. Because we're going to place a demand on what Jesus did on Calvary. We're going to withdraw. It's not like we have to work for it. Get me right, he already did it. But because we're not requesting it. You see, I could have money that is allocated to you, but if you don't request it, it's just going to sit in a safe somewhere. Jesus has blessings that have been already allocated to you, but you need to request, access them, place a demand. And the idea of placing a demand is the violent taking it by force. You don't place a demand, you know, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to God, and I don't want you to get the wrong message here, but you know, when you're demanding something, you don't go and say, please, please, please. It's like, this is what I want. I'm taking it. The woman could have sat there and say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I messed up. I know, and begged, and Jesus would have passed. But she said, I got no time to beg. I know who you are. I know that you are the Messiah. You came so that I can be healed. You came so that I can be delivered. So I'm not going to come and spend endless hours fasting and praying. I'm just going to demand what is rightfully mine because you came for that. And please don't, you know, people listen to the wrong things. Hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we order God around. But what I'm saying is there's stuff that God has already availed for us. And we just need to say, now I want it. You know, God, you said you would do this. Now is the time. I need it now. This is the time. And we need to begin to lift up our faith and begin to live in the reality of all that Jesus has done for us. You see, I was thinking of it. This past
series of traveling different places has been really difficult for me because I've been stretched and been challenged. When I was sitting with the men that I was sitting with, arguably, you know, in human standards, I don't know, but arguably some of the people that are leading some of the big churches in our nation, sitting with them, and I'm like, do you know? I'm like, I was saying to Reddy, if they came to Word of Truth, would they still think that I'm still the same person? And then the Lord said to me, no, it's, you see, the problem is if you measure and compare with people, you just walk in what I have given you. That's yours. You take what's yours. You know, when they invite you into that green room and you're asking yourself, why am I here? No, that's the wrong question. They invited you because of who you are and what I've already given you. You know, when I hear people talk about us, I couldn't help but ask this difficult question, especially coming out of the cotton gathering this past week and meeting with the pastors all around South Africa for Church of the Nations and some of the things that are coming within our flow and how they speak of us. I couldn't help but ask and say, does Word of Truth know what you guys see? Do we know who we are? And I felt like God has to pull a Gideon on us. You know what God had to do for Gideon to understand who he really was? God told him who he was and Gideon would not believe it. God called him a mighty man and he would not believe it. And God is calling you mighty people and you don't believe it. He's calling you great and you don't believe it. He's saying you are a significant church within the Eastern Cape and you don't believe it. You are a significant house in the nations and you don't believe it. The reason why television has been opened for you in a small town so that you can touch nations is because of who you are, but you don't believe it. And so God had to say to Gideon, I want you now. I'm tired of preaching to you, Gideon. I'm tired of quoting scriptures. I'm tired of encouraging you. I'm tired of giving you all the prophetic words. Now go to the devil's camp. Go to the enemy's camp and hear what the enemy is saying about you. And only... Are you not hearing me? Sometimes it takes God sending you to a conference of all sorts of great people to hear what they say about you so that you can start believing who you are. God is saying to us, Word of Truth, you need to believe who you are. You're not just another church. Stop copying, comparing, trying to be any other church. You're not. You are a unique gathering of people, and the nations are waiting for you. But you have to believe it. You can't be, you know, people are mocking what you are doing, what we are doing in our own house, like, oh yeah, let's do this, like, yeah, it will never work. There are people that are in another country that are saying, what you are doing is changing our lives. And yet the people that are supposed to be benefiting are like, yeah. Children in the marketplace. And I felt the Lord rebuke me harshly. Say, do you know? Why would I do all these things? Why would I take you away from a church in Zimbabwe, plant you in a place that you know nothing of? Do you think I'm confused? I know what I'm doing. And you're like, yeah, good, you know. Children in the marketplace. The violent take it by force when we recognize who we are first. You see, this woman, to touch the hem of the garment, has to know that she is important to Jesus. You know, you don't place a demand. If you come to me and place a demand and you've got no relationship with me, I'm going to like, who do you think you are? Nobody is going to tell me what to do. Amen. But out of a relationship, you know, I was talking to Rain the other day and she wanted money for her whatever entrepreneurship she's doing. And she's coming with a high budget. I'm like, she's placing a demand on the father. The father wants to cut her down to 50 rand, amen, you know. She's coming with this budget here. I'm like, my goodness, man, are you starting? Are you buying the whole school or what? But that's where she is. That's the demand. And so the other day, somebody came and blessed me. And while I'm still holding the money, she said, Dad. True story. Ask my wife. The people that had just come to bless me and they put money in my hands and I'm still holding the money. I'm celebrating and she's like,
You were saying you didn't have money. Back then you did not have money. You said my budget was so high, but somebody blessed you with money. Now my budget. And guess what? True story. Counted the money. Here's the money. The demand at the right time. Amen. Place the demand. And here's the thing. We can be content just coming to church and playing games, or we can actually say, you know what? We are important to Jesus. He promised to look after us. He promised to care for us. We're not begging. We're not beggars. We know who we are in Him. We have a relationship with Him. And so we respectfully place the demand. You know, when that woman was called out, the Bible says she came, fell down. That's a point of worship. Not like I'm afraid, but it's like, I did it. I did it. I'll own up. I did it. But Jesus says, it's well. Be of good cheer. Don't be troubled. What you did is what every child should have been doing right now. Everyone who knows who I am should have been doing what you're doing. Be of good cheer. You know, sometimes you feel embarrassed when you lift up your voice and you shout. Nowadays, I don't apologize. In fact, I was with Pastor Wes. He's coming for conference. I was with Wes, and we were sitting in this conference, and we're sitting right in front. So we're not speaking, we're receiving. We're sitting in front, and it was time for worship. And Luche and Dwayne were worshiping, leading worship. And we looked at each other like, I don't think these people around us are good for, they don't understand our level of worship. We kind of had to move to the other side and say, excuse us, we'll come back when worship is done. We're just going to go worship from here. Because when I'm worshiping, I want to be lifting up my hands. I want to be, and you want to be dignified like, no. Excuse me, just make space, because I know the grace that's on that stage. I know where they are going to take me. And I'm not just going to sit there and just like, oh yeah, like any other pastor, look cool and collected. I'm like, no, I've got some issues that I need to deal with, so excuse us. And we moved aside, and it became the joke for the days that we're meeting. Like, oh, so you guys separate yourself for worship. I'm like, no, you guys don't know how to worship. You guys wanna just like this. We want to enjoy it. Why? It's where I am. Not that there's one level that's better than the other. It's just like, that's where I am. Come on, you don't have to apologize for who you are when you touch Jesus. You can bring the weird you to Jesus, and that will be good. You'll say, be of good cheer. Everybody else thinks you're crazy. He's like, no, that's good. That's good, because you come into Jesus. Word of truth, when we gather, we come into Jesus. I want you to gather with this understanding. Every time we are called to gather, we're gathering around Jesus. He's got everything we need. And you can just lift up your voice and just say, God, I need a touch right now. Or you can now be the one that says, God, I'm just going to touch you. Because if I touch you, I've got faith that if I just make connection, whatever you have allocated for me will happen. So let's be that church that will, with all reverence, with all honor and respect to God, know who we are and place a demand. Do you know that the Bible says healing is children's bread? Do you know that? Now, let me tell you about children's bread. I may not have money to sponsor your entrepreneurship, but I have money to make sure that you eat. That's children's bread. It's my responsibility as a father to give you children's bread. And bread has been the lowest, kind of like, it's not the special. It's not my responsibility to give you cake, you know. You can enjoy cake. But it's not. But bread, you need to have bread. And this is what Jesus says of healing. He's like, healing is children's bread. You need to be healed. But we don't approach Jesus with that confidence that, hey, I am a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And I'm going to just trust God to give me children's bread. And some of us, we begin to apologize for what is rightfully ours. It's your bread. Let's stand. People are worshiping to the... Amen. I'm saying the pastor's message, time up. I can see people are like, okay, let's hear what's happening there.
I just want to say something this morning. I can't just sit there and not say anything. God is waiting. God is waiting for us to put a demand on Him. And, you know, if I can just touch God's garment this morning, I mean, and I want us all to say here and now, We want it here and now. I want to hear it. Here and now. We want it here and now. Everybody, here and now. God wants us to put a demand. He wants a reaction. We can't do nothing. He wants that reaction, and we have to react.
Amen. Faith is rising.
Praise God. I really believe in my heart what Pastor Justin has been ministering and ministering. And it's almost like an army that you go in for training, but it's time to go out. And there's just a song on my heart. I don't know if we can play it, but it goes, there's an army rising up. There is power in the name of Jesus. And I just believe we need to stand together. You're a wonderful community. You're a wonderful church. And God has gracefully placed us here. And I thank God for each and every one of you. And I just say, Lord, there's an army right here. And it's time to rise up.
Amen.
Can we sing it?
I want to ask Reddy, if it's appropriate, for this church, Word of Truth, to repent from taking the messages, the ministry lightly, and as we have heard this morning. So, is that appropriate, Justin, for us together, all of us, to repent from not taking seriously and be expectant and walk in victory because of what we're hearing and because of what Jesus Christ has done, and we've taken it on.
Yeah.